In the book of Romans, in the first 11 chapters, the Apostle Paul lays down a firm foundation about salvation. He establishes the fact that everybody, both Jew and Gentile alike, are under sin, and that Jesus finished sin and brought the gospel into reality. He concludes this writing in the 12th chapter by saying, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." He stated that in Adam all die, but in Jesus Christ all are made alive. Because of sin that has been brought into this world, God has extended His mercy through Jesus upon the tree. Jesus died long, long ago so that we could have life and it more abundantly. It is only through His sacrifice that we have the hope of eternal salvation. The Bible says in John the 3rd chapter, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Notice now that in this context, when he brings up the mercy of God, he says because of this incomparable sacrifice, because of this love that has been extended to all of humanity, he says that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, as opposed, of course, to those Old Testament sacrifices that were killed time and time again. Those sacrifices were innocent, but they did not have a consciousness of what they were doing. And today, the Lord wants us to give our lives, He wants us to live our lives as if we were giving our hearts unto Him. We serve the Lord tonight. We don't serve the preacher. We don't serve the church. We serve God, who is King Supreme, and Jesus, who has been delegated all authority upon this earth. Notice that He says that this living sacrifice must be holy. And of course, this refers to that Old Testament sacrifice. They could not just offer any animal. They could not just choose any creature they desired. They had to find the best they had. They could only offer the best they could offer within the realm of their flock. In fact, if it did not meet the criteria, they had to go outside their flock and purchase another. The point is, we're to present our bodies. We're to give the Lord our best. Now think about that. Sometimes people say, "How can you go to Africa? How can you leave your family? How can you go to a foreign place?" Well, the Bible says we're to give our best. What does that mean? I don't know how to answer that question. Now, foreign work in Africa is not for everybody. I'm not saying that everybody has to go. But I do know this. You have something to offer. Your life, and God demands it. Whatever it is that you can do, whatever it is that you can commit, whatever it is that you can give, that's what the Lord expects. He expects nothing less. He knows our hearts. In fact, our lives are an open revelation to Him. He knows our thoughts. He knows who we are. He knows who we could be. He knows who we should be. And He says, if you want to go to heaven, you must present your body a living sacrifice. Now, if we fail to give our best, this is unacceptable. The Lord will reject this. He says in this context that it is rational, it's reasonable for us to give our best because of the sacrifice that Jesus gave, because of the mercy that has been extended toward us by God Himself. God wants our whole being. He wants our minds, our souls. He wants our bodies. You see, following Jesus is conditional. I want all of you young people to hear this. Following Jesus is conditional. Now, it's easy to say, "I'm going to follow Jesus." It's easy to say, "I'm going to do His will." But the proof is in the pudding, you see. I must ask this question. Am I really following Jesus? Listen to this passage. Jesus says, "If any man will come after me." He tells us clearly here that following Him is conditional. If we're going to follow Him, the first thing He says, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." Now think about this. Some of us live our lives just as close as we can get to the world. Now why are we doing that? Why is it that we choose to live our lives as close to the world as we can get? The reason is because we haven't denied ourselves. And you know, if it was revealed, the truth of the matter, We might even be found wanting, and we may be denied by Jesus in the day of judgment. The Lord said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You see, we can't get to the taking up of the cross until we deny ourselves, until we put ourselves in the background. This means that there may be issues that are freedom. Listen to me. Taking one drink is not a freedom. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8, Paul condemns and calls drunkenness both the first drink and the last drink. And that's not a freedom. That's a sin. Now listen. There are issues of freedom. There are issues of choice where there is no law. But sometimes I hear people say, this is my right. I can do whatever I please. Wrong attitude. The Bible says, if any man will come to me, if any man is going to follow Jesus, the number one thing I must do, the number one thing that you must do is deny yourself. There's no choice about that. That means, young people, when you're on a date, young men, you keep your hand where it belongs. We need to control our lives. We need to control our actions. We need to control our words. It doesn't matter what age we are, how old we are. We are God's possession. We're God's people. And we're to live our lives as a sacrifice unto Him. Listen to what He says in Romans 12, verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice now he says, not conformed on the one hand, but transformed, both positively and negatively. Not conformed. We don't walk like the world. We don't dress like the world. You know, we get overwhelmed sometimes with talking about what's modest and what's not modest. Most of us know what modesty is. The problem is, we're not living a selfless life. We don't want to be what the Lord wants us to be. I don't understand that. I don't understand how people can live a double standard. I don't know how sometimes preachers can pretend to be something and live immoral lives. I don't understand that. I don't know how sometimes we can claim to be one thing on one side and live a completely different life on the other. I'm telling you, the Lord knows. And if you're not living a selfless life, if you have not given yourself to Jesus Christ, if you're not the selfless, sacrificial life the Lord demands of you, you will not go to heaven. Now, I know that's blunt, but that's the way it is. And we can get angry about it, we can laugh about it, we can do whatever we want about it, but that's the truth. And like one brother has already said tonight, only the truth will make us free. Notice that he says this change that occurs. Not conforming, but transforming. Notice how this happens. By the renewing of your mind. What's he talking about here? He's talking about us assimilating the Word of God into our lives. He's talking about us taking the Word of God and making it a part of our being. That means you read the Bible. That means you memorize the Bible. That means you study the Bible. That means you meditate on the Bible. David said, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives, it gives understanding to the simple. Listen, we must live our lives for Him. We must give our lives to Him. Listen to what Peter tells us. You also, as living stones, are being built of a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now, if I'm living for Jesus Christ, if I'm a priest in His service, how can I live just as close to the world as I possibly can live? How can I get over here so close to the world that if I'm not real careful, I fall off? How can we do that? You see, what that means is we get as close to God as we can. We've got to change our thinking and our minds. We've got to change our ways. Unfortunately, some of us live too close to the world, don't we? Listen to this. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. He's talking about us in this assembly. He's talking about Christians, people who have come to Jesus, who are living their life as a selfless sacrifice. He says, you are a holy nation, His own special people. Have you ever thought about that? You're God's son. You're God's daughter. You're His prized possession. When you fail to serve Him, how deeply does it hurt? Listen, that you may know, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I want you to think about this evening. I want you to ask yourself, when you go away from this assembly tonight, when you go to bed tonight, when you wake up tomorrow, when you go away from this meeting, have you really placed your life on the altar of selfless service? Thank you.